chapter number 7 tonight. Very familiar verse, verse number 8. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I can just hear the way Micah says this. Rejoice not against me, O my enemies. You know what he's saying? Wipe the smirk off your face. Don't get too excited because I may be down right now, but in a couple minutes, maybe after a couple prayers, after just one touch of God, I'm going to be back on my feet again. And you are going to wish you had finished the job when you had the chance to do it. Oh, glory to God. I can see Micah the way he does that. Probably doesn't like a lot of us when we get a little bit of that Holy Ghost boldness.
Yeah.
But the problem we have today is that a lot of people make the wrong decision when they're down.
All right.
Young people do that. Rejoice not against me, O my enemies.
Yeah.
When I fall, I shall arise.
Yeah.
The Lord help me for a little bit tonight, and I probably won't go 45 minutes. And I'll explain my title to you here pretty quick. I want to preach on we're ringing the wrong bell.
All right.
What does that have to do with that verse, you say? You say he just blew his shot. Have you ever heard of the Navy SEALs? The Navy SEALs have got a very tough training that they go through in order to finish this training. They've got something. It's not like going to basketball practice. It's not like going out and playing a little softball at church camp. These guys have got a very rough road ahead of them when they sign up for boot camp to become a Navy SEAL. They've got a lot of fellas that are pretty mean, that are screaming in their ear, yelling in their face, trying to push them until their limit, until they absolutely break, to make them the toughest that they can be in order to become a Navy SEAL. But in the middle of this Navy SEAL camp, they have got a bell. And this bell is for anyone who reaches their breaking point. And they say, I can't go another step. I can't go another day. I can't handle one more captain screaming in my face. I can't handle one more run. I can't lift one more weight. I can't do one more thing. This bell is in the center of the camp. And when these trainees or these men that are training to become a Navy SEAL reach that point to where they say, I'm down and I can't get back up. They go to this bell, they take off that helmet that they've taken so much pride in, and they set it down, and they ring that bell, and they say, I am done, and I'm giving up altogether. Well, there was one story of one young man that had reached his point, and he told the captain, he said, sir, I can't do it anymore.
Right.
He began to walk over towards that bell. Now these Navy SEALs go for months of their training. And this is the Friday before their training ends. And Sunday will be the very last day of their training. He says, I can't do it anymore. He begins to walk to that bell and the captain said, son, don't ring that bell. You're closer to finishing now than you've ever been. He looks at that bell and he looks back at the captain. And he says, Captain, I'm sorry, but I just can't do it. He walks over and he sets his helmet down. And he grabs the rope of that bell. And the captain says, son, please, you've come so far. Don't turn back now. Don't give up now. I know it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And he looks back at that captain. And he looks back at that bell. He looks down at his helmet. And I'm sad to say, he said, Captain, I'm sorry. And he rung the bell. And he gave it all up. And he walked away. And I'm sad to say today that I feel like we've got young people that have got their hand on the bell. And the devil's doing his thing now and then to cause him to surrender in these last days. I want to let you know we are closer to the coming of the Lord than we have ever been. We have been in training. We have been working. We are weary. We are tired. And we are worn. But I'd like to tell young people. It discouraged me to see others, young people, that I feel like their hand is on the rope. You may have your hand on the rope tonight, but I'd like to encourage you that you can make it. There is nothing like being in the army of the Lord. We joined this morning. There is no honorable discharge from the army of God. It's time that our young people stand up and shout it into the mouth of hell. That there is a good king. Statistics tonight that just really horrified me. 1.3% of all deaths are suicide.
Wow.
One suicide occurs every 17 minutes. A young person 15 to 24 years of age dies by suicide every 2 hours and 12 minutes. It is the third leading cause of death from the ages of 15 to 24. It's the fifth leading cause of death from the ages of 5 to 14. It is the second leading cause of death among college students. If you were to compare the death rates in America, homicide is at number 13. And two steps ahead of that, at number 11, is suicide. There are approximately 750,000 suicide attempts every year. An estimated 5 million living Americans have attempted suicide. Every 17 minutes, we said there is one successful suicide, but there are also 6 who survive an attempted suicide every 17 minutes. That's a sad statistic, isn't it? To read about the way people get into such a condition that they think that there is no hope. But we have young people in our congregations that I feel like are committing a spiritual suicide when they get to their breaking point and they don't know what to do. And it's as if they look at the preacher and they look at God and they say, "That's it. I'm done. I've had enough." While all the while, the man and the woman of God are trying to tell them there is nothing out there to go to, and that it's Friday and Sunday's coming. I'd like to let you know tonight that I'm not about to go back to what God saved me from. I'm not about to turn back to this world. I'll tell you what, you can take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Give me all. I can only imagine how much heavier the burden is for a pastor who worries about an entire congregation as he looks out and he knows when they struggle. And I've wondered how many times he's looked out and he's seen those spiritually through the eyes of spiritual eyes that have got their hand on the rope. And he's trying his best to preach in the midst of all the battling and all the troubles to try and tell them, "Don't ring that bell. That's the wrong bell." If there's ever a day that a young person needs a prayer life, it's today. If there's ever a day a young person needs to build an altar and get along with God, it's today. I want to be a prayer warrior, don't you? I don't want to ever ring the bell. But surrender and turn around and walk away. No matter who this is, the world has got to say, "Don't knock it till you try it." Well, I've tried the world, and now I'm knocking. It's not all that it's racked up to be. It'll leave you weary and lonely and hopeless. But thank God.
young people are ringing the wrong bell.
Come on.
Blessing the Lord.
One of them, and I tried to alliterate here, is because of a lying Beelzebub.
Yeah.
Right. That word literally means prince of death.
That's right. Come on. Right. Come on.
And Jesus was accused of casting out devils in the name of Beelzebub. How can Satan cast out Satan? I want to ask you something about your adversary. Who is he? Do you know who your enemy is? Peter describes him as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. I can describe him to you as one who is wild. You can see what he does to a lion with the man that dwelled in the tombs. He was a wild man. He dwelt with the dead. He cut himself with stones. He's also a wicked one. There's nothing holy about him. There's nothing good about him. He is wild and he is wicked. But what disturbs me is that we've made him welcome and we've made him feel like he's comfortable in the house of God when it comes to the services. We've got too many citizens that are laying their heads down in the lap of Delilah and they're way too comfortable in the presence of their adversary. What does God call him? God calls him a murderer from the beginning. He is a liar and the father of lies. His whole goal in Isaiah chapter 14, he says, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. The devil's not concerned about you. He's concerned about doing whatever it takes to make himself happy. And if that means destroying your life, if that means taking your purity and your honor and your innocence, that is exactly what the devil is going to do. There was once a preacher by the name of Lee. He was actually the grandson of General Robert E. Lee. And he had tried to win this young lady to the Lord. She was a beautiful young lady. True story. Her hair was long and black. Her eyes, he said, his exact words were, they sparkled. She was filled with beauty. Everything about her. And he tried to win her to the Lord. And she said, preacher, I'm going to go on living the way that I live right now. Because this is what makes me happy. And besides that, preacher, I've sold my soul to the devil. And he's made me all kinds of promises. He said, if I'll serve him, then he'll give me my own throne. I like the things of this world, he said. If I'd serve him, he'd give me my own shiny bracelets and jewelry. He told me that he would set me upon his throne and put a beautiful crown upon me. And years later, as this woman had had many boyfriends and bought her all kinds of expensive and nice gifts, that she got to the point where she got in an argument with one of these men and in a rage pulls a pistol from her purse and shoots one. And she goes to prison. Well, years later, they called this preacher by the name of Lee and had him come to visit this young lady on death row. Well, he walks in and he looks and he said, over in the corner, I saw a figure of a young lady that was almost unrecognizable. Her long hair had been shorn off to nothing. Those beautiful clothes that she once wore were now replaced by a dull prison guard. He walked with this young lady and what was the last walk that she would ever take down to the electric chair. He says when he walked in, he felt as if the very presence of the devil himself was there to claim what was his. They said they walked that young lady over and set her in the electric chair. And he said he heard the devil say, here, honey, here's the throne that I promised you. He said they took those shackles and they bound her hands down to that electric chair. And the devil said, here's the bracelets I promised you. And when they put that electrode on her head, he said he could hear the devil say, here's the crown, honey. Here's the crown that I promised you. Let me tell you, there's a reason that he is the father of lies. He's the best one. And he's the greatest liar. There's a drawing power that the devil tempts them with. He does not always tempt them with the things that are labeled with the world. You know, the devil's even got his own music in the Christian bookstores. The devil's even got his own Bible. It's the NIV. The non-inspired version.
Right.
It's a King James Bible. I don't understand if thee means you. Whosoever will means all of us. You can be. What does he do? He tempts us. He troubles us. Anybody in there ever been troubled by that liar? He tries us. He tries my patience. What little bit that I have, he tries. And he tries. Just like he does you. But I just like one thing. That when it's ultimately said and done, if we're truly as dedicated as we ought to be, all of his goals seem to fail. Because all he really does is drive us to our knees and bring us that much closer to God. Oh, glory to God. We can look in the scriptures at these men in the Bible. We know the devil doesn't try to help us, but rather he tries to hinder us. Job was a man who was tried, wasn't he? Was he not troubled? Was he not tempted? Did not the devil come and sit upon his shoulders, it seemed like, every single day and try to get Job to ring a bell of surrender and turn around and walk away from God? But when it was all said and done, all he had done was drove Job closer.
That's right.
Listen, I want to use your imaginations for just a minute. I've typed some of these notes down because I don't get many thoughts. And when I do, I got to write them down because my thoughts are like a vapor. They're there and gone. And I can't seem to bring them back. But there comes a time, I want you to imagine this, when the sons of God come before the Lord. And Satan shows up here with God. God asks, where have you been? He says, I've been going to and fro. You know what Satan loves to do, I think? I think he loves to taunt God with the failures of his people. I think he likes to try and throw that in the face of the Lord. But I can see him telling, I went to so-and-so church. I went to this person in this house. I've wreaked havoc upon them. And I've done this. And he mentioned all kinds of people. And God said, well, have you considered my servant Job?
Yeah.
And he looks at him and he said, well, not really, because you've got a hedge put up around him. And the only reason he serves you is not because he loves you, but because you made him rich and because you made him wealthy. He's got 10 children, 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses. He's got it all, doesn't he? Job seems to have the almost perfect life with everything that God has blessed him with. And Satan says, I'll tell you what, Lord, if you take down the hedge, I'll get him to curse you to your face. If you'll just take down that hedge. Have you ever thought about that hedge?
Come on.
One man was talking about being in, I think it was Nebraska, and he says he's up in the town, there's grass there and there's pheasants over there. And he said he looked at these pheasants and he thought, man, they're awful comfortable around all these men. See, the problem was that this time there was a hedge about these pheasants. You know what? It wasn't pheasant season over there. So there was a hedge up. The only difference was the hedge for these pheasants was a man with a uniform and a badge that said, you're not going to hunt these pheasants. And the difference between that and Job's hedge was a legion of angels that stood around him for protection. Could you imagine how it was that day when those pheasants just woke up to boom and getting blasted? Their heads had been brought down. But there came a day when God took the heads down for Job. And the devil come over to Job. Could you imagine how it was? He text messaged old Doubt. And he says, all right, Doubt. How you guys doing? I want you to go over there and I want you to get his camels. I want you to get his ox. I want you to get them all out of there. And then he text message, old discouragement, and he says, I want you to go over there, and I want you to do this, and I want you to do that. And then finally he gets his phone out, and he, are you imagining this with me? You gotta be, because he doesn't have a phone, just in case you didn't know. He may have in the NIV, but I'm not real sure. But I want you to know, he text message, oh, death, and he told death, he said, I want you to go over there and look at his family. Death text messed the devil back, and he said, I've got all his children in the same place. They're all in the same house. The devil says, I'm on my way over. And he comes over and causes the wind to blow on the four corners, and the house fell in. Oh, everybody but Job's wife was there. Why? And the devil says, I've got an idea. A man that's just lost all his children, all his cattle, all his oxen, and everything he owns. If I could just get his wife to speak some unsympathetic words to him, oh, what kind of pain could I cause old Job? Maybe I could just get him to ring the bell and get up and turn around and never serve God again. And his wife walks up and said, Job, why don't you just curse God and why don't you die? Because he's saying, why don't you just ring the bell and give up?
Come on.
Job says, I don't think I will. Before day comes to him again, Satan comes up. Where you been? I've been over at Job's place. His forehead's sweating. His eyes are red with irritation. His ears are red. His hands are shaking. He's so upset. He says, I've been over there with Job. But you know what? God says, you didn't get him, did you? He said, no, I didn't get him. But then again, you didn't let me touch him.
Come on.
He says, if you'll let me touch him, it'll be all over. God said, okay, I'll take that edge now. So the devil goes back. He texts messages again. And he sends that old demon over there to put boils upon Job. And all the pain that Job must have felt, the itching, the uncomfortableness from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. And they go over there and he sent those demons there. And then he uses a few more demons, his friends, Brother Nathan. What miserable comforters his friends were. Hey, you need to speak words of comfort to those that are really going through it. You need to pray for wisdom from God when you're speaking to somebody in the congregation that's really going through it. When a young person's struggling, pray for wisdom from God when you go up to speak to them. Amen. But he sent other tormentors, and I wrote this down here, typed it out. My wife typed it out because I was going slow. He sent Satan to make his nights weary with tossings to and fro from dawn into the day, scare him with bad dreams, to make him uncomfortable when he took deep breaths. His body became so dried up and so poor that he was a mere shadow. Messengers from Satan moved upon him to cause him to fail. His wife despised him. He was a byword among the people, while they made his misery the subject of their songs. The lowest of the people, the very scum of society, spit in the face of Job and tripped him as he walked down the street. It's pretty sad, isn't it? That's pretty rough, isn't it? Any of you young people feel like you're there? You got your hand on the bell.
Bless you, Lord
God. Have your way, Lord.
Just count yourself blessed that God has found you worthy enough to lower down the hands. And he said he'd never put on you more than you can bear. But Job, in these most trying times, I like to try and picture him as he's covered with these sores. He's lost all kinds of weight. He's probably not shaved for a few days. He's probably looking kind of dirty and filthy. His voice is probably not as loud as what it could possibly be because he's so weak and he's so tired. And the devil comes up and said, Job, it's always going to be this bad. Job looks at that bell, probably reaches up to put his hand on it. And the Spirit of the Lord probably begins to move on him and he speaks these words from Job, chapter 14, verse 14. All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes. Could you imagine now? The countless sons of God stand up upon the preachers of heaven and they said, I told you, Job wouldn't ring the bell. I told you, Job wouldn't die. I told you, Job wouldn't lay down. Did you imagine how long as I come? And Job said, I'll not gave you a first answer, but he doesn't. He's like that. He's like a kid that wants candy. He just keeps coming back. Tries to get exactly what he wants. But then the devil comes back to Job. He says, Job, go ahead. You might as well ring the bell. You're going to die anyway. Job looks up at that bell. He reaches his hand up. He says, you know what? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And the devil looked at Job and said, why, Job? Why are you going to trust him? You can't even see him. Job said, well, that's right. I looked in front of me, he's not there. I looked behind me, he's not there. To the left, to the right, and he's not there. Maybe on it, and he bared and he rears his shoulders back. And he said, I may not be able to see him, but he knoweth the way that I take. Therefore, I will not bring this back. Tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Could you imagine how it was? Then Job gets to feeling a little bit better. He looks at that bell and he looks at the devil and he said, there's a lot of things I don't know. I don't know why that God's allowing me to suffer the things that I'm suffering, but there are two things that I do know. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I know that I'm not about to surrender, and I'm not about to go back. Young people, that I feel like a lot of you are ringing the bell is because of leadership breakdowns.
Come on.
Paul had a fear when he was leaving the church of Ephesus. He says, I fear that when I leave, that ravening wolves are going to come in and not sparing the flock. Young people, I want you to listen to me real good here. Paul had a question. He said, there's some wolves that are going to be coming into the church. And what are you going to do about it? Young people, the last thing that the pastor and the youth pastor need you to do is ring that bell and give up. What we need you to do is stand up and help us keep the wolves out of the house of God. We've got preaching wolves that are so ashamed to preach a little bit of doctrine and a little bit of holiness and a little bit of standard when it is the infallible Word of God. And if a preacher will not preach what thus saith the Lord, you watch him, he's a wolf. You watch him, he's a wolf. You heard that fellow, that preacher had that dream that he was in hell. And the man was walking across the edge, reaching down into the pits and the flames and pulling them up and looking at their faces. And he kept pulling them up and he said, what's he doing? What's he doing? He said, ask him, ask him. The man walked by and he said, sir, what are you doing? He said, I'm looking for the preacher that told me this place didn't exist. Oh, what we need today is a preacher that'll be a leader. A preacher that will not preach a watered-down gospel, but will preach repentance and will preach salvation only through the blood of Jesus Christ. And will preach that the Spirit is away. Wolves.
Come on.
And then you watch them pew wolves.
Yeah.
Them ones that when the pastor preaches it right,
yeah,
and they tell you that it's not necessary. That's why some of you is in the sanctuary. Because you're listening to a wolf. God, open up their eyes and let them see the fangs of the wolves. There are the few that will not back the preaching of the Word of God. I don't want to be a wolf. I want to be a worshiper. I want to live holy. I want to live right. I want to live right in this present world. No wonder we got so many young people looking at these Hollywood stars.
I know it.
Where's the leaders?
I know it.
They're breaking down.
Blessing God.
Amen.
Blessing God. Blessing God.
All right.
Oh, Jesus.
Young people, you will be attacked by a pew wolf.
That's right.
When you begin to move to the Lord.
Right.
You know when David, Brother Miller, when he went up there to take that food to his brothers up there, when Israel was fighting the Philistines, Brother Pierce, he went up there, and what did his brother say? Hey, I know the naughtiness of thy heart. You just come up here being nosy, David. David says, well, what's going on? Why is this guy talking to God's army like that? And why aren't you doing something about it, Eliab? God says, I know the naughtiness of the heart. David says, well, if you ain't going to do something about it, I will.
Hey,
you know what's wrong, young people? Is when you try to stand up for the Lord. When leadership is broke down, they'll try and tell you you're too young, or that you're just nosy, or that it really doesn't concern you. I feel like God's going to work for young people. I feel like God's going to call you for young people. And if you try to work for God, and somebody falsely accuses you, or you, it's just because they know they ought to be the one fighting the giant. They ought to be the one that's out there on the battlefield. They ought to be the shipwreck program. Because all of a sudden, people have decided to
ring the bell.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right.
David had a wife. You know what I don't like? I don't like the fact that I feel like sometimes I feel like if I act out too much in a Pentecostal church, I'll be accused of being charismatic.
Come on. Come on.
But that's better than being dead, ain't it?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, they did this on the day of Pentecost long before them charismatics started.
Yeah.
You're right.
I ain't going to let them shut me up. I'm going to try to outdo them. I'm going to enter his gates with thanksgiving. I'm going to enter his gates with praise. I'm going to lift up all my hands and I'll hold it down. Statue hit it in his bed. Keep Saul from killing him. She would have did anything for her king. He was not king yet, but he was her king.
Right.
And then it got to the point when there was a separation between Michael and David. She was actually given to another man to marry. David came back and said, I want Michael. She's mine. Then when they brought the ark back, you read of Michael. As she's standing up in the window looking out. As David dances before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart, the Bible says. Don't fall out with me here. But I'm afraid sometimes we just get a little too dignified to dance. Sometimes I think we just get so worried about what everybody else is going to think that we're just afraid to worship God. You know what I like to do in those times? I like to just remember what God's done. And it takes the focus of everybody else and puts the focus of my spiritual life and my worship and my praise right back on God. Young people, don't worry about what the wolf thinks. You worry about what God thinks. And worship God. And I want you to know, even though leadership is breaking down, you still do not have a right to ring the bell.
Come on.
You're right. Falling.
Right.
Sunday school teachers losing a burden.
I'm going.
Pillars of the church that are falling by the wayside and being seduced by doctrines of devils. But it still does not give you a reason to ring the bell. We've got false teachers all over this world that are teaching false doctrine. We've got people that will slander the holiness folks' name. We've got folks that say the Trinity is crazy. We've got folks that say that speaking in tongues was just for the book of Acts. We've got folks that say that healing was just for the Bible days. But I want to let you know that God has never changed. God still requires the same thing from his people. because you lost one that you're never going to win another. I know you feel that way. I think probably if we were honest, everybody in this house has felt that way one time or another.
Come on.
They lost the battle. They thought, I am never going to get back to where I used to be. I'm never going to get out of this rut. Don't stay in a rut. You know what a rut is? It's a coffin with the ends kicked out.
That's right.
Don't stay there.
That's right.
The rut just makes it easier to ring the bell.
Right.
The devil will bring it right into your back.
Amen.
And make it very accessible for you to just give up in the midst of it all.
Right.
There's a man we've already talked about by the name of David. When he come to Ziklag, they had come and they had taken everything they had. They'd taken their wives. They'd taken their daughters. David was in such a place that even his own faithful men had desired to stone David and take his very life. Could you imagine how David felt? Could you imagine how the devil did when he comes up and says, here's the bell, David. All you've got to do is ring it and just give up. But David looked and he said, go get me the ephod. There's some different bells that I want to ring. And he went and he knelt down before the Lord and he began to ring the prayer bells of heaven. And he said, Lord, what do you want me to do, Lord? And the Lord, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Whatever you do, don't ring that bell. Just pursue. And without fail, thou shalt surely recover all. The problem we have today is that young people think they lost one battle and they can never win another one. I got good news. You don't have to ring the bell, but you can pursue. And without fail, we've got three things tonight that may cause you to have your hand on the rope. Getting ready to ring the bell. Lying Beelzebub. Leadership breakdowns. Lost battles. Now, let me tell you what you need to do.
Come on.
You need to leave it behind.
Amen.
Glory to God. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. There's some things you just gotta let go and you just gotta turn it all over to God and just say, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do for me, but I do know one thing. I'm not giving up, and I'm not turning around, and I'm not ever going to go back to what you saved me from, Lord. But I'm pressing on forward, and there's a heaven that came, and a hell that's come. Therefore, God, I will not ring my bell, but I will worship you. Will we say we can? Will I say can? I heard him tell a story of how he was driving past a man's house and he was sitting on the porch with Pierce and he looked over and the Holy Ghost says, go back and talk to that man. He's driving and he says, well, man, I got to go here and do this. And the Holy Ghost said, go back and talk to that man. He was in Bible college at the time. Said he went back and so he told his friend, he says, I got to go back and talk to this man. You won't think I'm weird, but the Holy Ghost said, go talk to him. He said, well, I'll go with you. They went back and they looked and this man was no longer on his porch. They began to knock on the door. Nobody answered. They began to bang on the door. Nobody answered. They began to shout, is anybody home? Open up the door. And it got so loud that the neighbor lady came out and said, what do you need? He says, ma'am, I'm a preacher. And I feel like I need to talk to this man here. She says, you don't need to talk to him. Nobody wants to talk to him. He's an old drunk. Said he's so bad, even his wife and his children left him. They don't ever come to see him. He said, well, I got to talk to him. He began to bang on the door. Nobody answered. He finally, he turned around. They began to walk down the steps, and about that time, the door opened. He said, yes. He said, sir, you're going to think I'm weird. I said, but I was driving by here. I'm a preacher, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me and told me to come tell you that Jesus can save you, and I wanted to witness to you and tell you about the Lord. Man began to weep and cry, and before it was all said and done, he knelt down on that old porch and got saved and prayed through the old time salvation. Brother Stout, when he got up, he said, I want to show you something. Come into my house. They walked in and they walked upstairs and then they walked over and there's a dresser there. On top of that dresser, there's a picture of his wife and his children. Next to the dresser is a crate. And above the rafters is a rope with a noose. And he said, I stood on this box. I put my head through this noose and I looked at the pictures of everything that I had lost. And I looked at everything that sin had taken away from me. And I thought, nobody cares. Nobody loves me. And I'm just going to end it all. And about the time I got ready to kick that crate out from underneath me, I thought I heard a knock on the door. And he said, I thought, wait a minute. Nobody knocks on my door. Nobody ever comes to see me. I thought it was just a figment of my imagination. I kicked my leg out again to kick that crate. And that knock came on the door again. And I thought, oh, somebody does want to see me. Somebody does want me. And I came running down here. And when it was all said and done, God restored the family and the wife and the children all back together. And I pulled out the wonder. And I looked at this congregation. How many young people have put their head through the news and about ready to kick the crate out from underneath them. I got good news. There's somebody that wants you. There's somebody that cares. There's somebody that loves you. You don't have to die lost. You don't have to live with a beat of heart.
Have your way.
You don't have to ring that bell. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's stand all over the house. Can I get somebody to come to the piano, please? I don't know if you get Brother Young, if you could. Brother Peters, maybe could you help your brother or whoever's coming here? Somebody, yeah. Thank you, sister. I'm trying to look for anybody here. I don't know anybody. Aren't you glad that you serve a God that you don't want to give up in trouble time? Aren't you glad you don't serve a statue?
Right.
In closing, young people, I want you to hear me. There was once back several years ago when they used to send the mail by ponies and horses, and actually kings used to dwell. They'd have the fortified cities. They'd have the great walls around them. There was a battle between two kings. One king sent a letter to the other king by horseback. And the king got the letter. He opens and he begins to read it. And the letter said this: if I get into your city, I'm going to destroy all your women. I'm going to destroy all your children. I'm going to take all your spoils. If I get into your city, I'm not going to leave any building standing. If I get in there, I'm going to destroy it all. I'm going to wreak havoc on you. The king grabs a paper and writes down a response. And he gives it to this man, who then rides back to the other king. Hands the letter back to the other king. The king opens up the letter. And it says one word. If. If. He had a lot of confidence in the men that were protecting him. He had a lot of confidence in the ones that were there guarding that city. And the devil may tell you, if I get in your home, I'm going to destroy everything you have. If I get in your mind, I'm going to turn you to the things of the world. If I get in your heart, you're never going to be the same. I'm going to break it to pieces and never leave anything standing. I'm going to break your heart. I'm going to crush every bit of joy that you've ever had. But I think tonight we ought to send the devil a message that says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Young person, as every head's bowed, as the church is praying, I want to ask you something. Have you been facing the enemy of your soul? Has he been trying you and tempting you and testing you? Has he come at you like he's never come at you before? Has he tried to get you to ring that bell and surrender? I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to come to this altar and begin to worship the Lord. Oh, come on, young people. Everyone that would, I want you to come to these altars. The devil's after your soul. He wants to do all he can to destroy you and lead you to an eternity without God. Come on, young people. I want every young person that would to come to these altars and begin to worship the Lord. It'd be a good night for a breakthrough. It'd be a good night to worship the Lord until the Holy night for somebody to get saved. It'd be a good night for somebody to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It'd be a good night for somebody.